Hi, this is Stephanie Gunning of LincolnSquareBooks.com. I'm very excited to welcome my guest, Cloris Kiley, MBA, who is a performance coach, seminar leader, author, and radio show host. Her background in engineering, marketing, and management allows her to create effective, easy-to-implement strategies for her coaching clients and audiences. She offers coaching and training in personal branding, communication, public speaking, social media platforms, internet marketing, and career development. There's practically nothing that she doesn't do. Cloris has 10 years of experience helping professionals and students reach their goals, and she has completed specialized training in all these subjects: personal branding, leadership, public speaking, positive power influence, negotiation, and communication. An advanced Toastmaster and very sought-after lecturer, Cloris has been featured on television and radio shows, and her articles have been published on personal development and business websites with millions of followers. So welcome, Cloris. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Well, I'm so excited to be here, Stephanie. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, we had such a great time about a year or a year and a half ago working on your book. And that whole experience, I'm sure, leads into our subject matter today, because you have created a radio show, you created a book, and now you've got a wonderful coaching course coming up on personal branding. So what has the experience of being an author been like for you?
I have learned so much, Stephanie. I had never learned so much in my entire career. And publishing the book, it was a big, big part of it. And I think I became even more interested in personal branding after publishing the book. Because as you said, you know, there's nothing Cloris doesn't do, right? So I was a little bit scattered. And I realized that when people ask me, so what is it exactly that you do? They had no idea. I had to explain it to them. And even then, they didn't understand clearly because my book was directed to personal development. But then I was also doing career development, so people didn't get exactly what I was doing. So then I realized that it's important for authors and for anybody really who has a business, or even for people who work in the corporate world, to define what they want to do, the people they want to serve, and their mission with a very specific angle to it, also, because that way you can steer your efforts in one direction, and it's much more effective, and it creates a really strong personal brand.
You know, that's really interesting. The authors that I interact with really are very multifaceted people. I've discovered this. It is sometimes hard when a person is writing a book to get them to leave out of it and leave out of the conversation things that don't directly relate to that topic. Have you found that with people when they're developing their career goals, that they sometimes have trouble staying on one theme?
Yes, I've found that. And not only that, though, I've found that people tend to want to remain on the same path that they've been on for years. And it's a matter of comfort. I mean, we all want to feel safe. So let's say that you've been an accountant for 10 years, and then all of a sudden you wake up one morning and you realize that you just hate what you do. But instead of doing something about it, you go, well, that's what I've always done. You know, it's too late for me to do anything else. And you kind of keep that life that you really don't want to wake up in the morning because you just don't like your job. So
yeah.
I would say, like, sometimes it's a matter of saying, okay, what is it that matters to me right now? It doesn't matter what mattered to you last year or 10 years ago. What is it that I want to do with my life? And then take action toward that.
So the people who are listening to this program are authors and experts. And you know that I work with a lot of people who write nonfiction, self-help, spiritual books. Also people, you know, people who are coaches and wellness experts. I mean, I have all kinds of people who listen in to me. The message that, you know, we're really trying to communicate here is that there are certain mistakes that people, maybe there's some myths that people have in their minds about what a personal brand is and who it's for, and that there are also mistakes that people make when they're creating a personal brand. And you are such an expert on this. I know you have such a depth of experience and training that I just was so excited that you were available to have this call. So you know, before the call, we were actually, you know, I was saying to you, I'm not sure that my people compare themselves to celebrities, but there is a kind of desire for fame and reputation that go along with becoming an author, if nothing else then because that helps you reach your audience. And in publishing, we call that a marketing platform. What are the overlooked mistakes that you've discovered that can affect our ability to grow a platform?
Well, I would say I just want to address the misconception that everybody tends to have about personal branding. And that is that personal branding is for people who are celebrities or for people who want to reach the masses. And if you are an author, then you are conscious that you need a personal brand, but also you might associate that personal brand with maybe your website, and maybe you have to have a logo and a book cover. So you associate it with more like the visual part of your message. And personal branding actually goes beyond that. It goes toward like the tangible aspects of it. So what value are you delivering? If you're writing a book, what value does that deliver to the audience? Like, do they actually find it entertaining, or are you teaching something? Are you inspiring? Like, what is it that you're actually delivering to people? That's part of your personal brand. Also, what is part of your personal brand is the people you serve. And I think anybody who writes a fiction or nonfiction book, they want to help. We want to help people. But if you just think of it in those terms and you don't know exactly who you're serving, so it's really impossible to please everybody. So if you write a book and you feel, oh, this book is for everybody, everybody's going to love my
right.
book. And yeah,
so you've said a couple of incredibly interesting things. So I just want to circle back on that. You said that a brand is what you deliver, sort of the value you deliver. And you've said that your brand includes your audience. So I'd love to think of a couple of authors and see if we can assess what they're doing. So, like, we all know that Deepak Chopra is a brand, right? So what would you say is the value that he's delivering?
Well, Deepak brings inspiration to people, and he brings a way to reconnect with your inner self, right?
Okay.
That's what I get from him when I see him.
And what would you say is the part of his brand that is the audience?
Well, whoever finds his message that resonates, whoever finds his message that touches his or her heart, whoever listens to him and actually feels a change going inside of them, like, okay, this is making a difference in my life, that's his audience. And I would say, the message could go out to the masses, to hundreds of thousands of people, but only the people who are ready to receive that message will really listen to it.
Right.
And those people become Deepak's audience. Now, when he writes, though, he has to think of the type of people that he wants to reach, because just kind of waiting and seeing who likes your message is really not going to work.
So does that change from book to book, product to product? I mean, one book is about diabetes, one book is about God and consciousness and meditation. You know, does it change, does the brand actually change depending on what product you're delivering?
I see your point. I would say you could publish different books based on different subjects. However, you have to be aware that focus is what makes your brand strong. So if you focus on several things simultaneously, then your brand will be diffused. So it won't be as strong as it could be. So
right.
I would say for any expert, any author, you should plan on focusing on one topic for at least a couple of years. So you can really become a master, right, of it and gather that platform. And what happens is, like, I'm just thinking of Jeff Walker, who published the book Launch, and now he has this amazing program to launch products. And he said when he started his business, he was sending information about the stock market to his list. So he had all these people.
Right, which today would seem so strange to all of us, right?
Exactly, yes. So he had this great platform. They loved his newsletter every week about the stock market. And then he decided he was going to do a program to launch products. And he said at that point that I had to restart. I had to start from ground zero and just kind of build up my platform again.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep that in mind, though, if you're planning on doing something like that, that you will have to start all over again. It's not impossible, but you will have to do that.
Now, it sounds like a lot of work what you're describing, but why would you – I know that you do not believe that the most successful authors – are necessarily the hardest working people. Why aren't they the hardest working?
Well, I would say many people have a strong, well, it seems to be a strong or an influential personal brand. But the thing is, if they don't deliver the tangible value, then that brand will not last. And that's my whole point with this. Like,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you have people who are pretty big for a year or two, and then they disappear. Like, I always give the example of Milli Vanilli. I used to love that song. But what happened to them? Everybody found out they were lip syncing, and that was it. I mean, they disappeared.
They weren't really delivering the value that they were promising, which was music coming from their throats.
That is right.
By the way, that's taken down more than one. There was somebody else who lip-synced on Saturday Night Live and got in a lot of trouble, too.
Well, there you go. That always comes back
that's
to
funny.
Forget.
Right.
So that's one thing. And then on the other hand, though, like, let's say that you're a really hard worker, but then you don't have that other piece of it, the intangible aspect, then you will not get that far either, because, you know, there are such amazing books out there with great content, and they sell, what, 100, 200 copies, just because that author didn't have that intangible value that is part of the personal brand. They didn't have a strong platform, and that's why they didn't sell that many books. So I guess you got to balance out the two pieces of the equation, to have a strong brand and to build a strong platform.
Mm-hmm. So the platform really supports the identity, and the identity also, on the flip side, supports the platform, right? Because with the influence, you can attract people to come into your platform, and with the platform, you know, I always feel like, you know, when I'm a satisfied customer, I tell everybody, right? Oh, I just had the greatest experience. I'm tweeting, oh, that bank teller was so nice to me. They poured me coffee. Yeah. They, you know, massaged my scalp, whatever. And that kind of emotional, experiential aspect of a brand is what you're making me think of the way you're talking. So what are the three fundamental mistakes that prevent the growth of a platform?
Well, I would say the number one is to not have a defined mission, right? Because, again, you might say, oh, I want to help people, and then what? Like, what do you want to help them with? Who exactly do you want to help? And what results do you want to get? So you have to clearly answer those questions to have a clear mission. And then along with that goes that definition of the platform you want to have. Because if you have a bunch of people interested in, again, in the stock market, but you're selling a spiritual book, then they will not be that interested. A few people will, but not all of them. So, again, you have to define who you're serving and what you want to do for them and what results you want to see. So anybody who writes a book, when the first word that you put down on that paper has to be, okay, what do I want people to get to? What results do I want them to get? And then base your writing on that. So that would be the first mistake, to not be clear on that. And then I think the second strongest or most important mistake is to have no substance. So, again, you have that great website and the whole entourage of people, you know, talking about you, and you go on TV shows and you have all those things, but you don't really deliver value. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So it's just like those entrepreneurs who go to Shark Tank and they think they have these amazing ideas for a new product and they're looking for investment, but then their ideas really don't bring any value. So, of course, those people do not get money to further businesses. So it's the same thing.
I wonder how they screen those people ahead of time. They must bring people on who at least have some shot of attracting attention, you know. I love watching that program, actually. I think it's very helpful in learning how to pitch.
Right.
So if you had to choose one big mistake that could make or break the career of an author, what would that be?
Well, that mistake is to have the wrong attitude. And when I mean wrong attitude, I mean an attitude that is focused on what is wrong, on what the problems are instead of the solutions, on how things are not going the way you want, on how you're not getting enough books sold, or how your business is not growing the way you want it to grow. Because what happens is when we focus on what's negative, then we think more negative thoughts, and we don't have that clarity to see opportunities and to find solutions and to connect with the right people, because we're just focused on what's wrong. So that is the biggest mistake. And then we have to shift to an attitude of, okay, what are the solutions? How can I learn what I need to learn to get where I want to be? So let's say that you know that you need to create a website. And then instead of saying, oh, you know, I don't know how to create websites, I'm just not a techie person, then you say, okay, well, let me put this on my to-do list. Learn how to create websites or outsource websites. So you become a person.
Right.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're going to get stuck right there and that's it, end of story, right?
That's
so there's
right,
no room
right.
for growth there, right?
Correct. You always want to expand. You always want to learn. And you always want to focus on how to solve things instead of what the problems are.
Yes. I'm nodding my head over here. I can relate to that website comment very, you know, hugely. You know what? This is so fascinating because, so let's say somebody's an entrepreneur. I work with an awful lot of small business owners who really view their books as vehicles to increase their visibility and, you know, interact with their, you know, prospective clients and customers or their existing ones, right, to gather, you know, bodies of knowledge and present them. So, like so many, you know, it's sort of like you need a mirror to see what your outfit looks like, you know. You can walk around going, does my butt look big? Does my butt look big? Or you can, you know, look in the mirror and make your own assessment about that, you know. And I feel like, you know, we all can use, you know, human feedback, you know,
right.
from, you know, from experts like you who are experts in branding, who really understand, you know, kind of the codes that people are seeing. You know, I was reading an article in the Times this morning as I was waking up that about how Monica Lewinsky was preparing for her TED Talk. And she worked, you know, she basically, you know, practiced and practiced and practiced for over a month with a coach in front of her friends on an airplane, you know, everywhere. She was just doing it until she embodied it, right? And, you know, just fascinating because her talk, well, anyway, I'm going to get off track here, but, you know, like, so, getting help, like whether you can build your website, you need the help of a web designer with your personal brand, getting the help of somebody who's an expert in personal branding, which is what you do, you know. It makes such perfect sense to me. The sooner you can ask for help, the better is what I'm trying to say.
Well, it just helps you achieve results a lot faster because what happens is I learned all these strategies by trial and error. I did a lot of research, but I had to try them to see if they worked. So the more I tried them, the more I refined them, and then I created a set of strategies that show people step by step how to design their brand, a brand that is successful, that works for them, and that creates the results that they want. So I would say when you seek the help of somebody else, you make the process a lot faster. And, of course, you go through a lot less pain because then you don't have to make those mistakes that the other person already made. So I think that's one of the most important things about seeking help from an expert.
Well, you know, I just have to point this out, though. You know, Cloris, you have a depth of business training that a lot of people I meet don't have. I meet people who do business and who haven't gone to graduate school to study, you know, how to build business models and linear business plans and all that kind of. In fact, I work with a lot of extremely right-brained people who really can use that kind of linear support. And your fascination with personal transformation, I think, balances that out, right? So we don't only want to be operating on our personal brands, you know, I'm guessing, in the realm, at least when I think about my own brand, I'm not only thinking about what I deliver, you know, technically, I'm thinking about the experience that people need to have while they're engage. So for me, it's writing a book. You know,
right.
I want that to be fun, exciting, you know, and a personal growth opportunity, right? So, you know, you're stimulating my imagination in this conversation, you know, because I know you bring both of those things to your work, right? So was it when you wrote your book that you became interested in personal branding, or was it earlier?
I became interested in it earlier, actually, because I worked for an insurance company for a few years right after I graduated with my MBA, and I noticed all these people who would arrive at 6 in the morning before anybody was there. And I knew because they would tell me, and it's not like I was there at 6 in the morning, and they would work the entire day, work through lunch. And then they would leave at the end of the day when the guy with the vacuum came, just because it was disruptive and they had to leave. And they worked so, so hard, and they never got promoted. So then the new guy would come in, and he was, like, super charismatic and was always socializing, and, of course, they did a good job. And they got promoted right away after a year. And then these people working so hard, first of all, they would not have a life. I don't think they were that happy because they didn't look happy. And they were just not being compensated.
They were probably tired.
So that's when I became interested in the whole, like, I said, what is the reason these people don't make that much progress, and what is the reason that they're not enjoying what they do? And that's when I first became interested in this. And then once I became a career coach and once I wrote my book, then it kind of all came together because I made those mistakes as well.
Yeah,
and that's when I became even more interested because I wanted to help myself. So
I just have to circle back on the effort part of this conversation. So are you saying that an author can kind of slack but succeed anyway if he has a strong personal brand?
Well, no, not at all, actually, because then you might succeed for a short period of time, but again, your brand will not be long-lived. Because
got
I think
it.
The
this
key message,
Milli Vanilli problem.
Definitely, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, if there's one thing you remember out of this conversation is personal branding is a combination of both the tangible and the intangible. And if you're missing one of those, then your brand will not be strong. And I would say the second most important thing I want to communicate is that personal branding ultimately leads to fulfillment. And that, I think, that's our goal in life, just to have joy and to wake up every morning and feel like you're ready to just get up and make a difference and just feel great about what you do. And that's the whole point of having and developing a strong brand.
You know, it's almost what the image I'm getting in my head is like if it was nighttime and you were walking through a garden and there were like little lanterns by the side of the path, you know, you would be able to see where to put your next step, right? You could just, you know, or some little like each step lit up ahead of you, you know, like, you know, it's sort of like having a personal brand and having clarity the way I'm hearing you. It's a combination of action that's relevant and clarity of purpose, you know, so that, you know, it definitely is a brand is a communication exercise in a way. It's a relationship you have with your audience.
Right.
And, you know, if you have clarity, you know what not to do and what to do. It doesn't mean that. We've all seen big, you know, corporations take missteps, you know, and go off track. And sometimes, you know, sometimes I'm reading the news in the morning and I'll see like a company bought another company and I go, why did they do that? You know, what does that have to do with them? And then, you know, and then you see that it is relevant. You know, like a merger between, you know, Amazon and Goodreads makes perfect sense because, you know, or Amazon and Audible makes perfect sense, you know, because, you know, spoken books, you know, and written books, readers and booksellers, right? So, but when Amazon bought Zappos, it was like, what's the relevance of shoes? You know, and now they're selling groceries. It's like, what's the relevance of that? Well, you know what? Because the brand of Amazon is delivering products quickly and conveniently,
right?
So it's another side of the experience, you know, and they understand that probably before we did, right? Because they knew what they had, and that's literally a platform. Like they knew what they had created could be used for other purposes, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They knew the problem they were solving. They knew the results they wanted, and that's how you can make decisions, though, because if you're not clear on the results you want to achieve for people, and then you have some sort of project coming to you and you don't know whether to take it or not, then you will be confused. You will be not dubious always because you don't have that clarity of mission. So I think it's definitely essential. And also something that I was thinking that people sometimes do is that they leverage other people's brands and then you create alliances. And I think in the world of authorship, you know, authors and entrepreneurs and somebody who's an expert, I think it makes great sense just to partner up with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking about Tony Bennett, whose singing career wasn't doing that well.
But he was a mega star when he was younger, yeah.
Yeah, and then his career kind of like didn't go so well, right? Because he was getting a little bit outdated. And then he said, well, you know what? I'm just going to start singing with other people who are now rising and people who are popular. And look at him now singing with Lady Gaga, right? Who would have thought?
Right. I love Tony Bennett recordings anyway. His musical styles changed and now they're, you know, but the skill, the artistry is there.
That's right.
So are you saying we have to be open to these partnerships to see who's aligned with our values?
That's correct. If we meet somebody who has the same values, who has a similar audience that they serve, then it makes a lot of sense to partner up with them. Again, it's all based on the results that you want your audience to achieve and to get. So
yes.
I would say you'll feel it, though, when you meet somebody that can potentially work with you. You'll have that, that intuitive call to pursue that relationship even further.
Yeah, I meet people all the time who really don't understand what it is that is their core message. It's evident to me. It almost like burns in my imagination, you know, and then I'll say it's this. I can't even say it out loud because I don't want anybody to feel picked on. But they'll just get off track with something that's like a fad for them, you know. It's like of the moment, something going on in their life, and they want to like switch gears, you know, and you know that kind of. But I do think that there's natural emergences that can come out of your brand. Like with me, it's like even though I work on books, I work on so many personal development books that personal development is totally available to me as a brand activity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's fascinating. It's fascinating.
Right.
And I think you know, we could put any person in front of us and we could probably analyze them that way, you know. So I know you have this course coming up called Personal Branding by Design. And I think your website is even personalbrandingbydesign.com. And, you know, there's a button that people can actually push on the screen that's going to take them over there. Can you talk a little bit about what you're going to do in that class?
Well, I created Personal Branding by Design because of this need that I saw to just share all the strategies that I had learned with my audiences and my clients. So basically, as a step-by-step guide, it's an online course to show you the way to build a strong brand, all the way from your mission, your values, to the details of your social media and your website, so all the part of the communication piece, leadership, networking, every single element that becomes part of your personal brand, I touch on, I give you strategies. It's not just about content, because I still have some personal branding courses out there that they give you a lot of information, a lot of content. I give strategies, because I think if you have some abstract information in your mind and you don't apply it, then you will not make it part of who you are, and it will not really make a difference in your life. So I do a lot of strategies, a lot of exercises, so you can create that brand that you want. And the goal that I have with this course, what I want to do is for people to start living a fulfilled life in their career. I want them to wake up every morning and just be excited because they cannot wait to do what they do. And I don't want them to wake up one day when they're 85 years old and say, "Oh, if I had only done what was my true calling." I want them
Right. And you know what? If you're called to do something, you do wake up with that great sense of fulfillment, because in your imagination, you're already living into that future. You know, I definitely know when I wake up ready to write, I'm like, "Whoa, I can't, like, get me to my computer," you know. I'm like, all I need is a cup of coffee and a chair, you know, but, you know, and that's a great thing. So, and that, for me, that comes from having, you know, clarity of purpose, really. So you're going to help people to get clarity with their brand.
Yeah, I think, and I break it down into small pieces, because I think at the beginning of our conversation you said, "Wow, that sounds like a lot of work, Cloris," and it's not. That's what I did with this course. I just broke it down into small pieces so you can do a little by little, take one step, and then you make a change, and then you see the transformation, right? Because once you get those results that you get out of the small steps, then you become encouraged to take the next step. So it's about building that brand.
So you're making it incredibly simple to deliberately build all this stuff around us, this platform.
Exactly, yes. It's a matter of making it simple and making it fast, because you wouldn't want to be building our brand forever, right? So we want to see the results right away. And that was my objective when I created the course, yeah.
I love it. I love it. See results right away. And, you know, that is what I kind of get from this whole thing is, you know, live into your calling. Because, you know, your life isn't a thing that you do and you've checked it off the list. Like, you are living your life. Your brand is who you are, you know, particularly for an author.
Right.
You know, I mean, I could say, you know, Gretchen Rubin and The Happiness Project, and they probably equally mean the same thing to somebody who's read her books, right? We know that, you know, she blogged on happiness, and then she wrote a book about happiness, and then she wrote another book about happiness, and another book about happiness, you know.
Yeah.
And we know what we're going to get from her, because she's going to be telling us her personal experience of experimenting to experience that, you know. So when we go on Facebook, we see it. When we go, you know, to her blog, we see it, you know. So
that's right.
That's wonderful, you know. So say, you know, for the listeners, because we're getting towards the end of this call, how can we connect with you if we want to ask questions or if we want to read about this program you're launching?
Well, I would say if you want to learn more about the program, you can go to personalbrandingbydesign.com, and you'll see the breakdown of all the modules, and I'm offering some great bonuses like group coaching calls and complimentary LinkedIn class, because I think everybody has to have a LinkedIn profile, no matter what. No matter what your occupation is or your business, you definitely have to have a strong LinkedIn profile. So I offer that for free and a discount for another program that I'm starting in the fall, which is called a Personal Branding Mastery Program. And that goes way beyond, and we have more of a mastermind type of program that I'm creating. So you get a discount for that. So go to that website to learn about the program. And if you have any other questions, then you can just go to CorisKylie.com. That's CorisKylie.com, and you'll see a contact page where you can or give me a call or send me an email. I welcome any feedback you might have about any of my products, or if you just want to connect with me, I'm there.
Well, you also have a wonderful radio program on Blog Talk Radio. It's called Magnificent. So if people go to blogtalkradio.com, they can go /magnificent, and that will get them there. And you are just, you know, I always love talking to you. I really do. So I hope the listeners appreciate, you know, how important this conversation is. So thank you very much. Do you have any last thoughts that you'd like to add?
Well, I would say, well, first of all, Stephanie, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I think you're one of the most inspirational people I've met, and the drive that you have and the how professional you are, that's what creates your strong brand. And I'm sure that everybody who's listening who has worked with you has the same opinion, and that's what makes your brand strong, because you are professional and you are inspiring wherever you go. So that's one thing. And then for everyone who's listening, I would say no matter what you do, every day you have to think of your brand as a way to become fulfilled. And it's time for you to, as I always say, reveal your magnificence, because you have amazing gifts to give. And it's your responsibility to share that with the world, just to tell everybody all the gifts you have to give, and to trust that if you keep doing that step by step every day, then you'll get to where you want to be, because you deserve it.
I love it. You know, I should, you know, blog that. You know, really, because you gotta wake up in the morning and understand how valuable you are. That's what I get. And thank you for sharing that. And thanks, listeners, for spending this time with us. Until next time.